like I say, for trial later. You know, the NSA comes in, I'll just grab you and say, I caught him. All right, that's fresh water there if you need some. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And I want to start reading in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1.
Zach, give me just one second. Now, ladies, here's the thing. I love you ladies being here, and I never want preaching to go on if you're not here. Never. But if the children give you trouble, just move out a little bit further back in there, okay? And just do whatever you got to do. Wail no tail on.
Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Here's the problem with most churches in America today. They want to hear a new message and they want to hear something new when we haven't got a hold of the things that we've already heard. We want to have revivals, but we haven't got a hold of what was preached last revival. We want to have new meetings, but we ain't got a hold of what's been preached in the last meetings. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience deceived, a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now I want to preach out of the verse number 3. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? A man that I used Sunday morning as an illustration, he's my dad's uncle. He's been a dope head all of his life. He came back from Oklahoma with a U-Haul truck full of truck packed full of drugs and taught my dad how to be a drug dealer and taught most of the kids in the family how to do drugs. Yesterday morning he was caught and found on the floor of his house with a needle in his arm, dead, overdosed on drugs. I used him as an illustration Sunday, but today he's dead. He's been told that he's been saved for many, many years. There was a preacher one time, a pretty well-known preacher down in the South. He went to this preacher and he said, I'm not sure, 100% sure if I'm really saved or not. So the preacher pulled up a chair and said, I want you to sit down with me. We're going to get this thing worked out today. He sat down with that preacher and the preacher said, I want you to pretend that I'm Jesus today, and I want you to just, you're Otis today. I want you to pretend that I'm Jesus, and I'm going to ask you a few questions. And he looked at him and said, okay, I'll answer your questions. He said, well, Otis, do you believe in me? And Otis looked at him and said, well, yeah, I believe in you, Jesus. He went on, asked 3 or 4 other questions, and then he looked at him and said, well, you're saved. You're saved. So all these years he's been thinking that he's saved, but yesterday morning he was found dead and he's burning in hell as we speak this morning. Because the preachers in America have so weakened and made anemic the things of God and the salvation of the Lord. He said here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There was a young lady that I was dealing with not too long ago, just a few months ago, sat down with her. And she made a profession of faith when she was just a little girl. And she went down to the altar with her mama, and her mama's crying. So somebody grabbed the little girl and took her up, got down on the altar with her, and you know, prayed a prayer with her and told her that she was saved. Well, her mom went back to the church and said, my little girl's not saved. She didn't get changed. She never got under conviction. She didn't get born again. God never dealt with her heart. She, you know, wasn't under conviction. And the church got mad and everything else, and they ended up moving churches not too long after that. And people, preachers and pastors constantly telling her, you need to get saved right now. Why don't you come and get saved? Why don't you come down and make a profession of faith? Why don't you come down and pray a prayer? Why don't you, and phone phone calls with these preachers. These preachers don't know, well, don't you think it's about time for you to get saved? Why don't you pray a prayer with me over the phone? And this girl is as confused as she could possibly be, and she don't know whether or not, you know, what's going on in her life. She knows nothing about being born again. And on top of that, somebody died recently in her family. He was a drunkard all of his life. He was a whoremonger all of his life. He left his wife, and he just lived in sin all of his life. And everybody wanted to preach this man into heaven when he died. Everybody wanted to pray that this man was in heaven. But when he died as a wicked and ungodly man without God and without hope when he went to hell. But may I say, our generation of people have mixed up what salvation really is. Salvation is a great thing. Salvation will change your life. Salvation is God's power. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved is the power of God. That's what the Bible says. And we've mixed up what salvation really is. And we have a generation of people that will tell the community that 100 people got saved this week and 120 people got saved this week. And our towns and our cities are as wickeder and ungodly as they've ever been. And our schools are filled with dope and drugs and drinking and sin and sodomy and everything else that goes along with it. But 110 people are getting saved every week, and we're in a state of revival. I'll tell you why. It's because we've made salvation weak and anemic. And that's why I'm preaching today on making salvation clear what it really is. Our salvation, first of all, is a salvation of hope. 1 Thessalonians 5:8-9. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Many people have been offered a salvation that leaves them without hope. However, there is a salvation that can change people's lives. The salvation that we have is a salvation that can change the drunkard, it can change the dope head, it can change the prostitute, that can change the whoremongers, that can change the liars, that can change the idolaters and make them Christians and love God. That's the salvation that we have. I once heard a famous evangelist, and most of the preachers in here might even know who he is. I heard him say at a big preacher's conference, he said these words. He said, well, some of y'all preachers keep going on preaching this repentance nonsense, and you keep on preaching it and preaching it. Let me tell you something, preachers. If we bring a little kid in on the bus that's been raised in a broken home all of his life, he's going to make a profession of faith and get saved. He don't have to come back to church. He don't ever have to live right. He don't ever have to give his life to God. He don't ever have to come to church again. He got saved because he made a profession of faith. I personally believe that salvation is a salvation that'll change your life, that'll make you love the house of God, that'll make you love the Word of God, that'll make you love righteousness and holiness and purity. That's what our salvation really is. We can offer a salvation of hope. We can look at men like Dale, whose lives were in shambles and wreck and ruin, and he was sick and sore because of his sin. He was destroyed because of his sin. He was destroyed because of the wages of sin is death, and as a result, his life was ruined and wrecked because of sin. Let me tell you something. He has a salvation today that's full of hope, and God changed his life and put his family back together and took him off his drugs and took him out of the bars and took him from being a whoremonger and made him and his wife love each other again. That's what God will do. We have a salvation of hope. We have a salvation of hope. These preachers that don't preach repentance, the Bible says, as were some of you, but you're washed. You're washed. You're washed. You're sanctified. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, as were some of you. As were some of you. And he went down the list of all those sins and all the unrighteousness that men is. And then the Bible says, "Don't be not deceived. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Be not deceived. He that doeth righteousness is righteous." The Bible says, "These things have been written unto you that you may know that you have passed from death unto life because you sin not." You're not going to live in a life of sin. You're not going to live in a life of rebellion against God. You're not going to live a life of practicing immorality and drunkenness and reveling and partying and sin. May I say, we need to keep the message of salvation clear. We must do it in this generation. We must do it. Let me tell you something. It is a common thing that most preachers are having to deal with today, to weaken what salvation is so that they can fit in with the big popular crowds and they can have 100 people saved in a week. Don't you weaken your standards of what salvation really is. Don't you weaken what the Bible says about being born again really is. Don't you weaken what the Bible says about it and go off to on some tangent to follow somebody else and their heresy and in their false doctrines. Number two, it is the salvation in Him. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible tells us that the gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection. And because Jesus died, He was buried, and I believe that He went to hell and then He took the keys of hell and He took the keys of death and He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Can I tell you, my friends, today we have a salvation in Him. Because He died, we can die to our sin. And because He was buried, our sins can be put away. And because He overcame hell, we can overcome hell. And because He overcame death, we can overcome death. We have a salvation that is in Him. The programs of our churches have made it possible to save people without God. I talked to a young person one time and they told me that they didn't feel like God saved them. They felt like the person down on the altar had saved them. But if you're going to get saved, you're going to get saved by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Our salvation experiences of today have made it to the point where you don't have to have God to get born again. You don't have to have the Holy Ghost to get born again. You don't have to have Jesus to get born again. All you got to do is pray this formal prayer that everybody prays and you can get born again. But may I say, if the Holy Ghost has not dealt with you and you've not realized that you're a sinner and you're not getting saved through Jesus Christ, you're not going to get born again. You're going to get saved by Him and nothing else. May I say, there's so many people that I hear, they get saved, they're getting saved. People are knocking on doors and saving 100 people every week. Let me tell you something, they're not under conviction, and they're not realizing that they're sinners, and they don't even have the time to realize that they're a sinner by the time that some of these people are done with them. I live near Winston-Salem, and the Sword of the Lord conference comes there every year, and they go out in Winston-Salem and they deal with people and they'll pray a prayer with them, and in just 30 seconds they'll have somebody saved without the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, without God even speaking to that person, without them ever realizing that they're lost without God. Why? Because they're saving them by the might of their own power. But may I say, if people are going to get born again, they're going to get born again by the power of God and nothing else. Nothing else. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. You can't make somebody pray a prayer and get saved. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. It's got to be a salvation in Him. Jesus Christ is our Lord. And if you're going to get saved, you're going to get saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ owns everything. He is the Lord of all, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He possesses absolutely our lives, and He is our master. We ought to call Him our master. We ought to be His obedient servants. We ought to call Him Father and be obedient sons and daughters. May I say, our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to get saved, you're going to get saved through Him. I told my brother just the other day, he plays baseball at NC State, and the coaches won't even give him any recognition, and he's probably one of the best athletes on the team. I've prayed for it. I've prayed that God would have His way. And people wonder what's going on, and some of the people in the family wonder why he's not getting any recognition. And one day they even had a baseball game, and the coach didn't even remember he was on the team. I've been praying for God to do a work in his life, and I told him just a couple days after that, I said, the gods of this world may let you down, but there's a Jesus that never lets you down, because Jesus Christ owns everything. He's the Lord of all. And may I say, if you're going to get saved, you're going to get saved through Jesus Christ. It is a salvation in Him. It is a salvation based on the Word of God. Romans 10, 14 through 17, the Bible says, how shall they then call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Most people today are saved because they prayed a prayer. They had an experience, or they just had something happen to them, but they're not saved according to what the word of God says. There's a lot of people that say that I'm saved, especially when you go down to the south. Everybody's born again. Everybody's saved. You can kick over 1,000 beer cans just to get to the door of a trailer. But they're born again. And they've been born again all their life. And they know everything about the Bible. And they know everything about God. But may I say, when you look at their life, they're not saved according to what the Word of God says being saved is. Based on the Word of God. There's many people that I can look at and ask you a question. How do you know that you're saved? You can't give an answer. The Bible says, hereby we do know that we know Him, because we keep His commandments. And he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and God's word is not in him. The Bible says, here, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have passed from death unto life, because you love the brethren. These people that go around backbiting and hating the children of God, hating God's people, the result of it is they've never been born again. I know people that don't ever attend church. I know people that don't ever read the Word of God. The Bible says that you desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. He said, hereby we do know that we know Him, because we keep His commandments. There's a love for God's commandments when you get born again. There's a desire for God's Word when you get born again. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you also receive that Spirit of truth that makes you love the Word of God, that makes you love the truth, that makes you want to study the truth, that makes you want to get in God's Word. May I say, there's people that never read their Bible, there's people that never study, there's people that never do anything with God's Word, and they claim to be saved. The Bible says that you'll love His Word. The Bible said that you'll desire His milk. And may I say, we need to hold that standard as what the Bible says it is. You're not saved based on your experience. You're not saved based on church membership. You're not saved because of some experience that you had. You're not saved because you prayed some little prayer on an altar. You're saved based on the Word of God. That's how you're saved, based on the Word of God. What the Word of God says about it. There's some people, man, I tell you, I've heard some of the craziest stories. I went and knocked on a man's door one time, and I went in his house and sat down on his couch, and he wanted to tell me how he got saved. So I sat down and listened. And this dude, he started telling me about how he fell off his horse. He was riding along the side of a mountain. He fell off his horse and began to roll down the mountain. The ambulance picked him up, and he was sitting on that, you know, in the hospital room all by himself. And he said all of a sudden he saw an angel come down from heaven, and that light sit there in front of him and told him that he was saved. Told him that he was saved in the fact that he fell off that horse and he's been rescued. We saw a man, me and Brother McVeigh was there not too long ago, and Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, we were in a meeting together, and we went and ate at Denny's, and a man walked in. He began to tell us how he resurrected himself from the dead, how he was dead on the hospital table, and he resurrected himself from the dead by the might of his own power, and that meant that he was saved. That meant that he was saved. And there's many things that people do that try to claim that they're saved. There's a girl that I dealt with one time, and she told me she was saved because she prayed a prayer with a boy. I asked her, did she know anything about repentance? Did she ever realize that she was a wicked and ungodly sinner? She said no, but I prayed a prayer with that boy down at that church, and he told me that I was saved. And she never repented, and she never realized that she was a sinner, and she never realized that she offended God's law, and she never trembled at the law that she had spurned. And may I say, my friends, unless you're based on what the Word of God says being saved is, if you're not saved based on the Word of God, you did not get in. I like what Brother Sammy Allen says. He says, you know how I know that I'm saved? Because me and the Word of God correspond. And me and the Word of God corresponds. That's what it says. Corresponds. And that's the truth. The Word of God. You're saved because you love the Word of God, as babes desire the sincere milk. The Bible tells us that hereby we do know that we know Him because we keep His commandments. The Word of God breaks up the fallow ground of your soul. The preaching of the Word of God does that. It reveals the sin that's in your life. He said in the book of Jeremiah, I believe chapter number 4, he said, break up the fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. He said that circumcision was a matter of the heart in the book of Romans, I believe chapter 2. And may I say, friends, that's what the Word of God does. It pierces even the dividing of the asunder of the soul and spirit and the heart, and it breaks through the marrow into the marrow of the bones. That's what the Word of God does. And may I say, you ought to be encouraged to be a man of God. You ought to preach the Word of God, and you ought to have God's power on your life. You ought to preach and study His Word every day of your life and desire God's power on your life. We ought to be encouraged together. There's a lot of people falling out. But may I say, we need to stay faithful in holding the message of salvation clear. It's a salvation based on the Word of God. Number 4, it's a salvation with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that's what it says. And how many of y'all have ever sent a letter out? Sent a letter out to another city, sent it to another person. What you did is you took that letter, you wrote that name on it, you wrote the address, you put a stamp on it, and you sealed it up. And you wrote the address, and it was sent out, and it don't matter how many male people carried it, it got to where it needed to go. That's exactly what God did with us when He saved us. He sealed us up, He stamped us out, and He put the address, God the Father, in the holy city, in the New Jerusalem. It don't matter how many devils handle us. It don't matter how many church members hurt us. It don't matter how many things come our way. It don't matter what the devil tries to do. It don't matter what our friends try to say. We shall be delivered to God the Father in the holy city, in the New Jerusalem. May I say, my friends, today, we have a salvation with the Holy Spirit living on the inside. Well, I can't run around living in any sin that I want to. I can't run around and I can't personally run around in shorts. I can't personally run around with my shirt off. I can't personally do any kind of sin and say anything that I want to say, because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside. He said that the Holy Spirit bears witness. Our spirit bears witness with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, rather. I remember, I can't even do entertaining things. I can't even go into entertaining places and give myself over to those things rather than giving myself to God. I remember one time I was playing golf, and I got to about the 9th hole, and I was out there. I love to play golf. I was out there on about the 9th hole, finishing up on it, and God said, why don't you spend this much time praying? Why don't you spend this much time studying? I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with golf. If you play golf, there's nothing wrong with that. The Holy Spirit told me, God the Father told me, Jesus Christ told me, why don't you spend time praying? Why don't you spend time reading your Bible like you do out here playing golf? And I put my clubs inside that little golf bag, and I watched the person play for the rest of the game while I sat there under conviction. The Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside. God will transform your mind and will transform your life. And you'll not be as interested in worldly activity as what you used to be. I've been to ball games. I've been to sporting events where I've sat there and everybody around me is just, woo! Yeah, woo! That's our team. Yeah, awesome. And everybody's excited about it. And I'm just sitting there like, man, this is the most miserable mess that I've ever been in my life. And I just sit there thinking, man, I'd much rather be in the house of God. I'm not bragging on myself. That's something that the Holy Spirit does. And I'm not bragging on myself, but may I say I'd rather be at the house of God than at sporting events. I'd rather be at the house of God than in the entertaining places. I'd rather be at the house of God at the lakes or the picnics or the birthday dinners and all the other places that the world offers you. There's many people that get caught up in the entertaining places. They want to go to the beaches and the lakes and the movies and playing golf on Sunday and everything else. You'll not do that with the Holy Spirit living on the inside. You'll not do that with God living on the inside of you. You'll not do that living in sin and carrying on in any lifestyle that you want to live in. The Holy Spirit produces assurance. The Holy Spirit produces assurance. The Bible says, we have eternal life. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I remember I was sitting at a table about a year ago with a bunch of young people. And there was an evangelist coming in to preach at their church. And they began to say things about the preacher, mocking him and making fun because... And they even came out and said this, well, we get scared whenever he preaches messages like that on hell. We get scared about it. I just think it's stupid. I don't halfway believe, you know, some of the stuff that he says, you know, and I heard some of them say sitting at that table, I wish that I didn't even have to go. I wouldn't even go if I didn't have to because I don't like sitting in messages like that. But they're saved. They're born again. They're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And they know how to just live just right. And they know how to pretend in front of the pastor. And they know how to just put on a show. And they know how to just dress up really nice and come to church and sing. And they know how to lift up their hands. And they know how to shout. They know how to say amen. But when they die, they're going to die and they're going to go to hell unless they get born again. You'll have assurance whenever you get born again. He said it's a salvation, a full assurance. You can know that you know that you know that you've been born again. You can know it. You can know that. And I've heard preachers go across the country telling people if they prayed that prayer, they could just trust that prayer that they prayed for. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've heard it so many times that, you know, it just drives me crazy. Just as long as you pray that prayer, just as long as you remember asking Jesus to save you and to come into your little heart and save you, just as long as you remember that, you can know that you've been saved. Just as long as you remember that prayer, but you had to ask Jesus to save you and you had to ask Jesus to come in your heart, and they'll come down and they'll pray that little prayer, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and they don't have any more assurance than anything. They're as lost as they can be. They're as confused as a goose in a hailstorm. And they don't know whether or not they've been born again. They don't know anything about real assurance in their life. But the Holy Spirit will give you assurance. It's a salvation of assurance. You don't have to sit around and trust your little prayer that you prayed. You don't have to sit around and trust whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to sit around and worry in your doubts and your fears and be troubled all of your life. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. He is in the midst of her that she should not be moved. He shall help her and that right early. The heathen raised, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the words of the Lord. And what desolations he hath made in the earth, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I don't know how many times I've quoted that chapter in my life, but hallelujah, whenever I quote it, I'm just glad that I can know, that I know. Therefore shall not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. He is in the midst of her, that she shall not be moved. He shall help her in that right early. The heathen raised in the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob is my refuge. We don't have to live afraid. You don't have to live in doubt and in fear. You can know that you know that you've been born again, because the Lord will be with you. He'll be with you. The Holy Spirit produces security. He produces security. He produces security. People say that you can lose your salvation. No, whenever you get born again, you'll know that you're saved, and you'll be saved as long as you've been born again. You'll be as saved as long as God is saved. You'll be as saved as long as there's a God in heaven. You'll be saved forever. Because you've been saved based on the Word of God. You've been born again. And you have that corruptible, that incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. And if you have that incorruptible seed living on the inside, you have a seed, you have something living on the inside that liveth and abideth forever and ever and ever. And it'll never die. You have that in you. You have security. And people say that you can lose your salvation, yet when God saves you, He writes your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. How many times have you went to erase something that you may have wrote down that was an error that you had made? Because whenever you erase things, you're not erasing things because the error of the word. You're erasing things because the error that you had made. The error that you had made. See, whenever God wrote your name down, He didn't make an error. When God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, He didn't make a mistake. He wrote your name down permanently, forever and ever and ever and ever. He wrote your name down, and you'll never die. We have a salvation that liveth and abideth forever. And we'll be saved just as long as God's saved. We'll be saved as long as there's a God in heaven. He never made a mistake when He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He never made that mistake. We have a security whenever you get born again. These people that are insecure, these people that don't have assurance, the salvation that we have is a salvation of assurance, salvation of security. And lastly, salvation from hell to heaven. A lot of preachers in this generation, they don't preach on hell anymore. I very, very rarely hear preachers preach on hell anymore. Why? Because most preachers want to preach something so that they can book another meeting somewhere down the road, so that somebody will, you know, like something that they said, or they might have felt good whenever that preacher was preaching, and they want to have them in sometime. People refuse to preach on hell anymore. But salvation is from hell to heaven. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, the Bible says. People have told me they were not saved yet. They still think they will go to heaven. People have told me that. It's crazy. People have told me, I'm not saved, but I'm still going to heaven. People have that mindset going on in this world today. I'm not saved, but I'm still going to heaven. No, if you're not saved, you go to hell. You need to understand that. If you're not saved, you go to hell. People think that they're going to heaven, and I've heard people that told me that they were lost, and the next day you'll hear them, well, we'll all be in heaven one of these days together, so that'll all be wonderful. And I sit there and think, you're not even saved, you're going to hell. You're not saved. That don't mean that you get to go to heaven anyhow. But hell is a place of tribulation and anguish and indignation and wrath and torment forever and ever and ever. And now I say, when you get saved from hell to heaven. The Bible says that we're saved from wrath through Him. That's what our Bible says. Heaven is only for saved people that have been born again. Heaven is only for... Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's going to see the pearly gate. Everybody's going to walk on the street of gold. not everybody's born again. And there's a lot of people that'll say, well, I'm not saved, but I'm going to heaven. I've met people like that. I don't know if y'all have ever met them like that. I've met some people that think that they're going to heaven in spite of the fact that they're lost. But you get saved from hell to heaven. And that's our salvation. But may I say, we need to hold the standard of salvation clear. Salvation needs to be clear, and people need to hold the standard of salvation for what it really is. There's a lot of little girls and boys that are sitting around watching, and they see what we hold as salvation, and what people say is salvation, and what this person says is salvation, and somebody will die and they're a drunk all their life, and they preach them into heaven at their funeral, and you know, this person was such a good person. He never went to church and he never prayed and he never loved the Bible, but he's in heaven today, and you know, he loved God. And there's little kids that are sitting around watching. Little boys and girls sitting around watching saying, that man was a drunk and he was saved. I guess I can be a fornicator and be saved. I guess I could be a dope head and be saved. I guess I can be a drunkard and be saved. I guess I could live any lifestyle I want to and be saved. But when you get born again, God changes your life. Amen. We need to make the message of salvation clear. I'm done. Amen.
Verse came to my mind, except the time had been short and there'd be no flesh saved. That was a good message. Now listen, here's what we're going to do. We've got a restroom down this hall down here. And Carrie could show anybody, we've got some restrooms here. Anybody needs to use a restroom or anything, this would be a good time to do it. Let's have a song. We got a little time. Brother Hayne had brought up the idea. We'll let Brother McVeigh come up here and preach us in through till noon. And he's not at all prepared, but he's prepared. All right? So anybody needs to use a restroom, this would be a good time to go do it. And brother, why don't you come on up here, lead us in a song. His daddy, now, again, I've never met his daddy. Talked to him on the phone once or twice a week. That's a family come out of moonshiners and drug dealers and got a dose of salvation.